So maybe let's start. Awesome. So how's everyone doing? Good. I know it's a long day. 5 o'clock session is, you know, hopefully that will keep you awake. So my name is Islam Goma. I'm a system architect at Kivutu Solutions. Today we actually will be showing monitor your cloud application in Azure and EC2. It's maybe sometimes just sounds strange, but I'll let you know why. I am actually happy to say that actually I am joined by Igor Savchenko. Did you get this right? From AviCode. I'm also
from Wirecode. From Wirecode.
Yeah, that's right. From Wirecode. Then also happy to say that actually we have Chris Sensen from Microsoft talking about coming from the hosting cloud team. So our agenda today will be talking about monitoring requirements and goals. SCOM 2012 Service Pack 1 as a centralized monitoring solutions. APM monitoring essential. Igor will come and set the stage and talk about APM to make sure that everyone understands what the APM is. Then we'll build on this. Then we'll say actually monitoring platform as services and infrastructure as service. And we'll talk about Azure Management Pack. Has anyone attended MMS today? No one? So we'll talk about the new Azure Management Pack, then extending our environment monitoring. Then I'll talk about also web application, about 360 monitoring from outside in. Then maybe you guys will maybe see the history strange. We'll talk about also Amazon Web Services, AWS, and I believe the best one that he can tell you why we're doing this today is Chris. Chris, do you want to tell us why we're talking today about Amazon Web Services?
Sure. I'm Chris Sampson. I'm a senior technology specialist with Microsoft. I'm actually, which is really a sales engineer, we actually have a U.S. Global partner team that we just work with our hosting providers, so like Rackspace, GoDaddy, SoftLayer, Savvis. Quick show of hands, anyone who are hosters out here or SIs or work with hosters or use hosters? Okay. Well, we have a U.S. channel that sells Windows and associated Microsoft services to hosters so they resell to their customers. And Amazon, surprisingly to a lot of people, is one of our hosting partners. I mean, even though there's obviously there's a competitive angle at the corporate level, they are one of our largest worldwide hosting partners. And you know, they have a very broad reach in the infrastructure as a service market, a market leader in some cases, in some scenarios. So in working with them in terms of how we could demonstrate to the hosting industry, not specific to just Amazon, to demonstrate the ways that we can integrate Operations Manager to manage any cloud, I felt like it was a great way to demonstrate how could you demonstrate this with one of the largest IaaS clouds, right? And I've been working with hosting providers in our channel for over 10 years. I've managed Rackspace managed hosting from a technology perspective, GoDaddy down in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Amazon the last 3.5 years. So I came up with this idea and reached out to the awesome developers at Viacode to find out how we can get a great development partner like Viacode to write a management pack that would manage some core services in Amazon EC2 to demonstrate how it could be extended to do that, to demonstrate to the industry that when we talk about enabling application management scenarios, enabling cross-platform management, enabling heterogeneous management. It wasn't just Microsoft marketing tagline. It was actually something that we were able to do. This was not written by the product team at Microsoft. They were aware of it. They thought it was a good, I would say, industry message. And I thank them for that. But we worked in our partnership with Viacode to develop a solution on Amazon to give us some feedback in terms of what they'd like to see. But at the end of the day, we have enterprise customers. Microsoft has enterprise customers that reside at Amazon as well, that are running Microsoft workloads, and we needed to provide a way for them to understand how they could retain their System Center Operations Manager investments that they've made to manage it in anywhere it was, in a Azure, like we'll talk about today, on-premise, and an AWS, and then to demonstrate how this could be done at other clouds as well. And so far, the feedback has been exceptional. We've had great coverage from the press, such as places like ZDNet, the Register UK, GigaCom blogged on it, so it's had a lot of great visibility to demonstrate what is possible in terms of extending operations manager to manage applications in any cloud.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Then in the end of the session, we are loaded for sometimes with Q&A, and that's it, right? All right. So let me start off by show of hand. Who's running on Azure today? Beautiful. Who's running on EC2 today? Cool. So who's running in a hybrid scenario between Azure and on-prem, Azure or EC2 and on-prem? Cool, right? So anyway, for both people actually that are running on EC2 and Azure, this session is actually for you. You understand a lot of it, right? So monitoring requirement and goals, and we always ask why we need to have monitorings and what's our goals actually need to achieve. So we're looking for actually comprehensive view to say that actually my application is available anytime. I want to know that. I want to know beforehand that actually my application is available. I want to know also when my application go into grade mode, I'd like to know beforehand to be active on that. I want to also say that actually I'd like to know that actually my application is available. I'm running on a reliable connectivity, right? And before I get connection timeout, I'd like to know that. And performance. And when I say performance, I'd like to know the performance from the client side and server side as well. And Igor will cover a lot on this actually on the APM management pack. Then, as I said, actually, from server side point of view, as the client perspective, if I'm running a global web transaction servers, I'd like to know what is the experience for my customers in India and Australia and Denmark. What is the experience so I can actually fix anything to enhance their experience. Runtime and proactive monitoring for IT infrastructure. Application and environment scalability, prospective and provisioning. And correlation between the application activity and the servers that and the infrastructure. If I really see today that actually my infrastructure hasn't got a lot of hit, got a lot of transaction, I need to correlate this between the transaction numbers and the resources I'm consuming. Right, so today actually we're talking about SCOM Service Pack 1, and SCOM 2012 Service Pack 1 achieved a lot of things today. And we're talking about health state, alerting, performance metrics collection, that's really important for me, and knowledge base and monitoring violation. So if I'd like to know now if I have an issue, I need to record this issue, I need to know how did I fix it. And of course, reporting. When finance asked me, tell me how much the service consume and how can I actually allocate this in the budget and how can I charge back for this. So now, there's actually three things important actually we're talking about. APM, the application performance monitoring. Anyone using APM today? Anyone managed to implement APM in environment? All right, so this is actually a great session. Actually, you'll learn a lot from Igor. I believe actually Igor come today from VIACode. Did I get it right today?
Yes.
Right? So this is the right guy that he will talk about. And Azure Management Pack, I'll actually cover a good part of it. And I'll leave the Amazon Web Services for Chris, who will come talk more in detail about it. I just want to let you know that actually we have Constantine from VIACode too, if you're actually interested to know about, say hi, Constantine. If you want to know more about actually the deep dive stuff in the Amazon Web Services, he will be able to answer it. All right. So now I'll leave the floor to Igor. Igor will talk about the APM capabilities. I'll come to you later about the Azure Management Pack. Igor.
Okay. Thanks, Islam.
No problem.
Okay, guys. I'm pretty sure most of you know what the APM is. There is lots of information across the web, different blogs, articles. Videos, and also the TechNet is full of information and materials about the APM. And actually, APM is not a new thing for the System Center community. But for those unaware, we're going to explain the main concepts of application performance monitoring, followed by a short demo, how it works actually in real life. So APM, the acronym for application performance monitoring, is .NET monitoring solution integrated to System Center 2012 NSP1, and it's formerly known as EviCode by the company it was originally built by and the company I represent here. In 2012, Microsoft acquired the product, the project which was called Intercept Studio, and started bringing it to System Center. The results of their efforts we can now see in System Center 2012 and SP1. Unlike the debugging approach, APM works as a profiler. This is an enterprise solution for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week monitoring, because of two main reasons. The first one, because of significantly low performance impact. And the second one, because it doesn't require source modification. When we're talking about the performance impact imposed by the APM, it's estimated and it's about 10% of processor time. Saying about the impact, the overhead of APM, most of all, we mean the processor time. APM, it's not so critical for the memory. And you know, it depends much on the configuration you use. APM is very adjustable and can be tweaked up according to your needs. In cases you want to gather more information or when you want to make your configuration lighter in order to prevent from the performance impact. So in one case, when you use a server full of the applications and you want to monitor all the requests, you have specified additional entry points, requests to be monitored, this configuration will be significantly heavy. But on the other hand, when you use just the APM to monitor one Windows server with default configuration, the impact will be even less than 10%. With migration to System Center 2012, we are given all the stuff inside the console of Ops Manager. I mean the performance metrics, the all kinds of health states, and when we're talking about the APM, we have different levels of health state. First of all, this is distributed application. In terms of APM, this will be application group. These are separate components, the single applications. Also, these are transaction levels, request levels, and so on. So you will be able to figure out exactly what is going wrong, what causes performance or exception violations. And of course, we're going to demonstrate this today. APM supports two types of monitoring, server-side, which is IIS-based, and the client-side one, which is called UX or CSM. UX for the user experience and CSM client-side monitoring. That's the synonyms. The client-side monitoring is end-user browser-driven. So it provides you information about request handling on the end-user browser side. Also, APM brings some gifts for the managers because it contains the built-in analytics and reports. And just take a look at the App Advisor. App Advisor is a web console which has been deployed during the web console role installation, and it also requires you to apply reporting role. And as you may know, Evicode was famous for its drilling down. So you still have this capability with APM. If you know SCViewer, you still have SCViewer, but now it's only named App Diagnostics in APM. So let's go further. And now you may ask how it actually works. And it works as profiler. So when your application is started, the common language runtime is started as well, and it verifies the register whether the appropriate profiler is configured for your application. If your application was added to APM monitoring, the register will contain the information about PMonitoring profiler. This is the APM agent itself. So the APM agent, the PMonitor profiler, will be loaded to the process of your application. It will share the processor resources and memory with your application, and it will load additional dynamic libraries from global assembly cache, which are intended for instrumentation and data collection. In runtime execution, your application loads its own .NET assemblies. And while starting, APM agent loads the configuration. This is just the set of files residing by appropriate path, and it reads there, what exactly it needs to instrument for your application. So if the requested call is instrumented, and if it exceeds some threshold, we've got performance event. If it struggles with some exceptions, false failures, we'll get exception events. And these events will be sent to management server. This is how server-side monitoring works. When we are talking about the client-side monitoring, we also need to mention additional component, which is called CSM collector. CSM collector is a web service which is being pushed to the same website your application added to client-side monitoring resides under. So, okay, the request reaches IS. The APM agent is loaded. It started instrumented your request. But if your application was added also to client-side monitoring, the response before being sent to end-user browser will be injected with additional JavaScripts downloaded by the path of CSM collector. Those scripts will instrument the source code of the page and will grab the information, all those metrics about resource and request handling on the end-user browser side. You will collect all the information about network time, the connectivity, the server-side execution times, client-side execution time, synchronous and asynchronous JavaScripts, page content, and so on. After that, the statistic package will be sent back to CSM collector, and if you have issue on the client side, on the browser side, appropriate client side event, performance or exception also will be submitted to CSM collector. After that, CSM collector sends the data back to management server. And now we came to the main point, why we're talking about APM today. As written, the APM approach can be easily applied for different types of deployments. You can use it on your on-prem data center. You can use it in cloud. Saying in cloud, we mean IaaS, infrastructure as a service. Because one of the requirements for APM is the necessity to push a system center agent. And also you can use the APM for hybrid technologies. The APM can be used in cloud. You even can use the same template, the same set of configuration to monitor your application instances regardless whether they are deployed, whether on Azure or on-prem. And of course, you've got the possibility to differentiate the configuration using the target groups. Now we came to the first demo. Okay. And before, you can see my screen, you can see the Ops Manager console. And before starting doing demo, we will talk about the requirements for APM. I already mentioned one of them. This is System Center Agent. Why so? Because when you install System Center Agent 2012, the APM agent will be most likely deployed automatically. There are some exceptions. For example, when you install the System Center Agent on Windows Server 2003 box, the MSI of APM agent will verify the version of operation system, and it won't be pushed on that box because IS6 is not supported. Maybe you know this previous version, the standalone version of Intercept Studio supported IS6, but it was excluded. So the first prerequisite is the SCOM agent and the APM agent. Also, you need to enable System Center Management APM servers, which will be registered during APM agent installation on all the boxes you want to monitor your apps. Now, you will go to Ops Manager console, and you need to import several management packs, which are prerequisites for APM monitoring. First of all, they are IS management pack, which is used for application discovery, the Windows Service Management pack, and the APM management pack itself from the System Center bundle. APM supports two versions of management pack. The first one is for IS7, and the second one is for, as it is to guess, for IS8. Currently, we will demonstrate the application monitoring for IS7. But there is no difference, actually, just in discovery. And finally, when you're done with the deployment, you have this COM, you have system center agent on all the application boxes, you imported all the prerequisites, all the management pack, you go to the authoring pane, and you can find the new template available here. It's called .NET Application Performance Monitor. So now we came to the point of configuration. So let's take a look at this template. As usual, the same approach is used. You just need to specify the name, and this name can be any, and this will be used as an application group name. I will talk about application groups a little bit later. You just need to specify a description if you want, and to select the management pack. You want to store settings. It's recommended to use separate management pack for each application group. So now I'm going to close this world because we already have the configuration in place. Let's take a look. And now what we have here. On the first tab, we need to specify what exactly we want to monitor. You can see two applications added to server-side monitoring. The Talking Heads, this is just an IIS-based web application interacting with end users. And the Talking Heads mid-tier. This one is web servers, which is wrapping all the business logic. These companies are parts of distributed application Talking Heads, a small prototype of social network when the users can create their accounts, post different messages, send invitation to each other, and so on. The concept is clear. So let's take a look at the result in more details. You may specify environment. This is just the label which will be tagged to the all the coming events. In current demonstration, this is meaningless. The target groups, you can see that it's blank now. That means that the current configuration will be applied for all the instances which will be discovered inside your management group. Okay, now let's take a look at configuration. Talking Heads, for example. You just can click Customize, and you go to the Advanced Settings. We're not going to stick much on this because we have lack of time, and we have many interesting materials to show today. And I think you can find all the documentation on TechNet. So this settings will be applied for this specific application. How to add the application? You click Add. You need to pick up the application type, web application and services, or Windows services. SP1 introduced the APM capabilities for Windows services. Currently, we are not going to demonstrate them, but I just want to mention this. But in order to get the Windows service listed in this template, first of all, we need to add it as Windows service monitoring here. And after that, it will be available to pick up in APM template. But now, we are going to monitor web applications.
Like we didn't pay enough for the demo guide. Sorry about that, guys. More time. will eventually. I think I should just can switch on now. All right. So I believe actually until actually we can get this, actually we can switch gear. I was actually hoping that Chris would cover EC2. I think Chris doesn't. He has a very good slide for you. So let's actually switch gears and get Chris to talk about EC2. Then we'll go back to. Go back to the demos. Sorry.
That's good.
Awesome. Thanks.
You guys hear me okay? Great. All right. So getting back to the sort of the why and what the opportunity that I felt like System Center Operations Manager sort of presented in working and managing Amazon EC2. So the goal of this was really at first to demonstrate how SCOM could manage any workload, any application, in any cloud. So like I talked about earlier, we worked with ViaCode to develop the management pack, and it enabled AWS as well as Microsoft customers to get all their monitoring metrics from CloudWatch. Amazon has a service, a management service called CloudWatch. Who uses that today? Really quickly, anyone? Couple. Okay. Those are basically it's an API that they enable to allow you to manage their services that they run. Those would be things like Elastic Block Store, EBS, EC2, Elastic Load Balancing, CloudFormation, and then Auto Scaling, and then Elastic Beanstalk most recently. The goal was if you had enterprises, Microsoft customers that were working and also had workloads in EC2 or running any of these services, they could have Operations Manager be that single pane of glass to manage those various services. So the awareness was it needed to manage these instances and the AWS components. It needed to distinguish between the computer OS and the EC2 instance as an example. Okay. Prior to any of the work that we did with ViaCode, Operations Manager didn't have this notion of understanding between the compute layer beneath the computer and anything beneath that, a dependent. It was the computer, and you know, in legacy iterations of Operations Manager, you had the computer group, and then you had the application management packs that we were demonstrating a little bit earlier. SQL, Exchange, what have you. And they were always excellent at doing that, but there was no notion of how to be able to connect the compute layer beneath that. That was very unique as to what ViaCode was able to do in terms of creating a managed pack that was aware of that and could alert upon that. So in previous monitoring, it forced people to say, well, if I wanted to use my management console for MOM, I could manage the OS running in Amazon, or I could manage my applications running in the OS in Amazon, but I couldn't go beneath that, right? Or if I wanted to manage and figure out how my compute layer was doing, I had to go to the Amazon management console they have you log into every day to start up your instances, start up your services, right? But there wasn't anything to tie those things together. So we did in this management pack, ViaCode was able to develop in this management pack, it was able to discover a management pack that could discover the instances, it could discover any Elastic Block Store map to those instances, it was able to discover ELBs, Elastic Block, Elastic Load Balancers, CloudFormation Stacks, which is basically a way to string together multiple instances at Amazon. We have one for SharePoint and SQL up there today. If you wanted to build one out and not have to build one at a time, they have a way to do that, making sure that process completed successfully. And auto-scaling, to be able to dynamically scale up and scale down your Amazon infrastructure based upon usage. So able to be able to monitor those and be able to discover those services and be able to understand where the computer OS was doing, what the applications running on the computer OS was doing, but most importantly, what made this unique was discovering that linkage between what we would call level 0 and level 1. And I would argue that this is probably the most important, why this makes this unique than anything else that's ever been developed with Operations Manager in terms of managing clouds to date, is that level 0, that infrastructure level, and that level 1 linkage, as we like to call it, and understanding where the dependencies are, and if there's an impact of the overall service, where does that lie? Because before this, we were always excellent at talking about the applications on the OS that were running in computers or servers within Operations Manager, but beneath that, it was a total mystery. So this is the overall solution architecture. I just really like this laser pointer, so I'm gonna point at it right here. So we have the Amazon Cloud up on top there, and those are all the services that the management pack can manage today. What we actually use to connect and to manage those services is we leverage the public .NET SDK or Amazon SDK and the .NET API that Amazon publishes. And we leverage the watcher node role with an operations manager to be able to connect to that, leveraging the Amazon IAM authentication service. You have an Amazon account today, you have an IAM account that's mapped to that to give you all your authentication and credentials to allow the SCOM agent, the run-as agent, the run-as account that the agent runs on behalf of, to connect to the various instances and the various servers that are running those agents that will be able to tell you how your Amazon services are doing. The agent is basically deployed as if it were a regular agent on-premise, but it leverages those authentication credentials to be able to do that. And what it does is it leverages a SQL, either hosted in EC2 or on-prem or another data center, and then it reports the agent. The agent is sent out via the management server, as well as reporting all the data and information back to the management server there in the lower, well, you guys are looking at it, the lower right and my left, the management server either on-premise or in EC2. So it gives you a lot of flexibility running on-premise or running everything in EC2 or any cloud. And one of the things I forgot to mention was part of this was to demonstrate to our other hosters is that this could be leveraged if they have an open API, if they have customers that want to consolidate all that management data that they're either leveraging another management technology or they're leveraging the hoster's console to collect that and aggregate it into a System Center Operations Manager console that we're all used to using, right? They all have great assets, but they're not experts in managing applications and Windows operating systems like Microsoft is. And we wanted to bring those two together. So we're hoping to take this and to have other conversations with the hosters to say this can be done. If it can be done with Amazon, it began with anywhere. So I'm going to get into the state view. The state view in Operations Manager, obviously, it's frequently used information. The unique thing that it does when you spin up an instance at Amazon, it's spun up from what's known as an AMI, an Amazon Machine Image. That's their proprietary virtual machine image format. Once that AMI is turned on, it becomes an instance, and it gives you the instance ID, the name, the region. Those are Amazon data centers. They call them regions. Their IP address, the security group that belongs to, and it can give you state view into the EC2 servers or VPC resources that are across their regions or what they call availability zones within their regions. And it can manage Windows and Unix-based instances. So really showing not only compute cross-platform, but OS version cross-platform. And you can start, stop, reboot, open up an RDP console, or open up an AWS console. I'm going to spend most of my time on this. I don't have a running demo of this today. You can download the management pack from Amazon today. But this is really showing you in aggregate all of the things that it actually collects. And the thing that makes this unique is that it gives you all of this information about the running instance in the management console view that we're all used to. In the left-hand, on the right-hand side there, you're seeing all the management packs. It could be an Active Directory management pack or a SQL management pack or a SharePoint management pack. In this case, you're seeing the AWS management pack listed, the third one down there. And it's showing you all the instances that it's being run. They've been discovered. They're running an agent locally. And based upon those CloudWatch metrics that I'll get to in a second, it's giving you the instance ID, the region by which it's running, because there's various regions and various availability zones within those regions, the platform by which it's running on that instance, the security group that that instance is running on behalf of within EC2, and the private DNS name. Obviously, all these servers have been torn down and turned off, and they no longer exist. So if you try to find out which one they are, it won't get far. On the right-hand side there, it's showing you some of the tasks and the state actions. So on the right-hand side, you can spin up an RDP console connect. You can start it. You can get a diagram view. You can get a diagram view and a state view like we're showing you here. So I would say this is probably the showcase feature of why we really did all this work, is to show that it could really reach beyond what were known confines. I mean, Microsoft, we feel like we have the best cloud assets in the world, spanning all of our resources. Great way to demonstrate cross-cloud capabilities that System Center can really be aware of and take action on. So this is the health view. It's showing you the overall status check. So basically, once you have all the instances discovered, it's giving you the ability to actually drill into those instances and giving you find out overall health of the OS, the ping status, the health roll-up alerting, as well as the local application rolling. So it's easy to detect failures either the hardware or the network level. And of course, Amazon never has failures, right? Haha, joke. When those they do, like every hoster does, you know, we can detect those as well. And the unique thing, what makes this again unique, is that level zero to level one linkage, right from that compute layer up to the operating system layer and up, that instance has that SCOM agent can actually detect between that app level or OS detect to make sure that if there's management data, where is that management data coming from, the OS or the application level? So I'll get into the diagram view really quickly, but again, that instance OS and app to the app resource linkage, which makes this unique. I'll get right into the diagram view. So what it's showing you here is right there is a WordPress application site and all the dependencies of by which that WordPress application actually has. So this is all us, you know, very similar to a web application. That's, you know, a three-tier web application that has a front end, a mid-tier, an app tier, and then a SQL database tier. This is actually showing you all the dependencies in Amazon that WordPress site is actually showing you. So in this case, it's a WordPress site. It actually has a CloudFormation script attached to it. It actually has two instances running across both regions, East 1B and East 1C. And those instances are represented by the orange boxes there. Actually have EBS volume and a WordPress site attached to it for failover. So if there's a failover, if there's an issue, if there's a problem, the diagram view, after all the resources are detected and the agents are running on those instances, can detect where those issues may lie. So these are the overall CloudWatch metrics that are captured. Not a whole lot of them. And I really want to be clear about this, okay? The management pack by itself, if you were not to manage anything else on that EC2 instance or that Amazon resource instance, if you didn't import any of the great management packs that Microsoft has and its partners have shipped over the last 10 years, I think there's like 150 of them, it wouldn't be very unique. It wouldn't show you very much. It would just show you the health of the cloud layer. It's only when you really start to correlate it with your application management pack for SQL and SharePoint and Active Directory and IIS and all of our partner management packs that we've built over the last decade that it really fills out the full picture, right? Because if you're just looking at the compute layer, it's just giving you one picture. But if you're looking at it in the entirety of how is the health of my infrastructure running in any cloud based upon all the application management packs that Microsoft and its partners have developed over the last decade, it's pretty compelling. But the management pack by itself, and doing nothing else, these are the metrics that makes it unique in terms of what it's doing, in terms of the management capabilities. These APIs existed, they were ready to be exposed, and we just brought it all together, VietCode brought it all together to develop this and take it to market. So what I'll do is I'll turn it back to
APM
guys. We'll be here, have Constantine as well for questions on the Amazon EC2 components.
So we established connection with the lab and we will go on with the APM. So we need to pick up the type of application, web application and services, and click search button. So you see here four applications discovered on all the boxes, hosting system center or management server. Two of them, Talkheads and Talkheads Meteor, were added to client and server-side monitoring. The next step is server-side default. These settings also they can be adjusted using advanced settings. These settings will be applied to all the applications added to server-side monitoring within current application group. So the Talkheads and Talkheads Meteor are two components of one distributed application, and they are monitored in scope of one application group. Now we will go with client-side monitoring. Client-side monitoring is end-user browser-driven, and it also can be applied for the web application which interact with end-users. So as you see, for the server-side monitoring, we added two applications. And for client-side, it's only available to pick up only one. The Talkheads. As usual, you can customize the settings or just leave them default. And default settings will be used for all the applications added within current application group. You can review the settings on the summary page and click cancel. Okay, the configuration is finished. So the next step is to distribute the configuration to application server. And this, for these purposes, you need just wait. For discovery interval, it's about 4 hours, so it usually takes long, and you may initialize, first of all, you may override this discovery interval, and it's a good choice for the test environment to restart system center management servers on the application server in order to reinitialize the application discovery. Once the application is discovered, the configuration will be pushed on the application server. You can check whether the application is in place, whether in Ops Manager, event log, appropriate events will be posted there, or you can go to the APM agent configuration folder and to open pmonitor config or CSM action config manually and verify that your applications are there in place. So, and the final step you need to take is to execute IS reset in order to apply changes or to restart appropriate application pools. Okay, now in, here in place we have some load generation tool. Islam has already run it. It started pinging token heads, targeted to it's targeted to token heads instance on the Azure persistent virtual machine. This tool emulates user activities. Some requests will fail, some will struggle with performance violations, some will cause exception, and so on. And let's switch back to the management server, to the Ops Manager console, and we're going to take a look at the views APM bringing. We go to monitoring, we go here to application monitoring folder, and first of all, we can see the so-named 360 degree dashboard. This is a new dashboard introduced in SP1, and it shows you metrics about different monitors, not only APM, but also about web application availability monitor and global service monitor. Islam is going to talk about today. Also, it provides you the general metrics about request, average request time, availability metrics, performance, and reliable. And this folder is for APM itself. It's called .NET monitoring. Here we have the active alerts view. You have some of them generated soon. And let's take a look, for example, at one of them. Okay, this one complains on the page request login ASPX page has exceeded the threshold configured for this entity, and that's why we got alerted. So we have the performance problem with this request, with page load of login ASPX. Also, we have several views for discovery, IS7, IS8, and IS-hosted WCF web service inventory. We use only IS7 in current demo, and you can see that this discovery is only applied for web application. You can see two instances, the token heads deployed to management server and to Azure Persistent Virtual Machine. Also, this view is helpful when you want to figure out, are you going to enable client-side monitoring or not? Since the client-side monitoring requires code injection, it can be not compatible with your application. In order to check this, just run this task. Check client-side monitoring configuration. Okay, now we go to the monitoring application view. Here we have the aggregated state of the application group itself. It's in warning state, and as usual, if we go to the Health Explorer, we will be figure out exactly what's going wrong. And we see that the number of exception events per second exceeded the threshold. So our application struggles with the exceptions and faults. Okay, we have the active alerts for the entire application group. We've got the diagram view here with the health state rollup. Let it be loaded. It's rather huge. I guess we need to change the scale. So you see the application group health state is in warning state because some of requests struggles with performance violations and others with exceptions. So we also have the health state view. The health state view is aggregated for all the instances of application components for TalkingHeads and TalkingHeads Meteor. Now we go drilling down to each specific component. For example, for TalkingHeads, we have the performance view, different information about statistics, all those kinds of metrics about number of monitored requests, number of exceptions, performance violations, percentage of failed requests, and so on. And these category .NET apps are being registered during APM agent installation. Also, we have the overall state for each instance of the component, for each instance of TalkingHeads. We have two of them, and the alerts view for them. If you added some transactions, if you specified some requests to be monitored specifically, you will find the transaction folder for which you have the aggregated state view, health state view, and alerts. The same use we have for the other components, for the client-side monitoring, TalkingHeads client, and for the web services, TalkingHeads Meteor. And now we are going to the main point Evicode was famous for. We will go to the app diagnostics. First of all, let's refresh this view. So this is the web console, which is installed during web console role deployment, and it will help you to drill down even to the stacks of the each request, which struggled with some problems. And let's take a look at the some of the events. So the first point when you get where you get the that you have problems is System Center console, and the second tool is App Diagnostics. Let's take a look, for example, at exception event. So this is exception event. It contains the information about security failure, an authorized success with status 401. And let's take a look at exception chain, exception data. Exception data is the exception object itself. You see it contains information about method, about status code, about the requested URL, about the entire message. And exception chain is how the exception was rethrown. So this was original exception. Exception has been thrown by the target of invocation. And it was provided to the end user as the in more friendly-like way, as an after-art access. And the main point is the stack. It gives you information where the problem actually occurs. The stack of exception event is read from the bottom to top. So these are sequence of calls, and the actual problematic method is marked with red box. Also, we have all the exception data here. If we have got PDB files loaded to the same folder from where the current dynamic library was loaded, we even can get here the source code. Currently, we have no PDB files there. So it provides you information about the sequence of requests and where actually we have the problem, and it collects all the relevant information about the exception. We have already several tabs, similar events, related events. Similar events are the same events of the same type. Related events are all those which were generated within the specified time interval, currently set to 1 minute. Distributed chains, if you have problems distributed on different levels, currently have no this one. And performance counters. You know, sometimes the problem can be caused not by the application code itself, but for example, it can be caused by the lack of resource utilization. And we get here the metrics about processor time, private bytes, and so on. The .NET category for statistics. These performance metrics are being collected 15 minutes prior to the exception collection. And now let's take a look, for example, at the performance event. Let's get something evident. This is a client-side event. currently the client-side monitoring will be retained out of scope. And we will take a look, for example, at status. Let's find login. For example, this one. So what we have here? We have the request. Unlike exception events, the stack of performance event is read from the top. We have the request, system web UI page process request, the regular request for the page load. We also have the information what exactly page is struggles with performance violation. We have the context, runtime arguments, instrumented and collected. And also we have the duration. So this request took more than 600 milliseconds. And currently we have very low threshold. That's why we have these events collected in app diagnostics. Also we have the stack. The stack can be divided into two parts. This can be time-only calls for which we grab only the execution time, like this. And also this can be the methods. Methods require additional instrumentation, so you can add additional methods or entry points to the request very responsibly. So for methods, you also have the runtime arguments. As usual, you have the context about the data collection, and you have the information from what exactly application it came from and from what server. This is actually our persistent Azure virtual machine. And all those information about similar events, related events, distribute chains, and performance metrics. You know, guys, we would be able to go on with application monitoring features review, and many interesting things are currently out of scope. For example, client-side monitoring, app advisor for reporting, the migration, the synchronization with TFS. You just may assign the APM alert to the appropriate engineer just through the system center console. Also, with SP1, the exception event can be exported and will be opened in IntelliTrace, all this interesting stuff. But currently, we are all with the APM overview, and we will go on with the Azure Management Pack. Aslan, please.
Awesome. Thanks, Gabe.
So, question.
Go ahead.
So this was about 10% performance penalty, you were saying? For
yes.
Instrumentation?
Yes. For both.
So we'll go back. So the plan actually will let Chris talk in the end. That actually would talk before him and just we squeezed him in the last 5 minutes. But this is what happened, right? That actually, we're all right. All right, so I believe now, just to sum this up, that Igor now explained APM, and I believe that should now give you a good understanding about how APM works, right? So now go ahead and use this utility. That's really great tool. So now, I'll be coming here to talk about actually IaaS and platform as services and APM. And APM today actually will get you to drill down to a line of code, tell you why it is down, why my query is not working, why that, so you can take this information and go to your dev team and tell them, listen, you know, that's not working. So can you fix it? This is your issue here. So I should say actually that IaaS actually such as Amazon AWS Management Pack, and I should tell you that now Azure, it's safe to say that actually Azure is actually IaaS and PaaS at the same time, right? So it has two roles. So now we talk about Azure Management Pack. And I think it's not new. In MMS, last day in MMS this year, Microsoft did release a new version of Azure Management Pack. If I go back to 2011, Microsoft released the version 6.something on Azure Management Pack, and very much actually we're doing a couple of things like monitoring web roles and worker roles. That's it. And this is actually what very much Azure was offering at this time. But today, with actually all the offering that we have today in Azure, like we can actually monitor a lot of stuff, right? We can actually monitor the cloud services, virtual machines, storage blobs, certificate. There's a lot of enhancement in the certificate management side. Also, with the management pack, you'll be able to do your distributed applications, such actually that Igor showed you how to do the distribution application from the APM side. We'll show you also how to do the distributed the DA distributed application also in Azure. Plus, we have a great, great dashboard that will show you the variety, the service variability, the capacity, and so on. So I'm going to take you quickly to set up how we set up the Azure Management Pack. Hopefully, the demo will work. And anyone actually has experience with the previous Azure Management Pack? Right. So the previous Azure Management Pack actually installed it and doesn't really create any objects for you here. Then with the new one today, actually, it will create, once you install it and import the Management Pack for Azure, it will create something named Windows Azure. Right? From Windows Azure, after that, you'll be able to add your subscription. And adding your subscription here is really easy, that you go to, say, Add Subscription. You go to the Azure portal, bring your GUID, upload your public key on Azure. Then you go here, put your GUID, get your certificate PFX, put the password, and next, then boom. As soon as you do that, now you can monitor your Azure application. But however, actually, the monitoring doesn't happen right away. Right? Once you install the management pack, once you actually subscribe for your Azure management from your Azure here, the management pack starts doing a discovery, and that's it. So let me show you how this discovery happening. So discovery happening actually in Azure, and the management pack go and look for multiple and various stuff that your resources that you are subscribed to, like actually the cloud services, storage, right? It tell you what the health of your storage is. If you have discovered virtual machine, right? And what is the deployment that we have on Azure, right? Now actually very much that's it. It doesn't really do too much until Igor will come here and start pushing buttons and configuring his management pack in order to monitor our application hosted in Azure, right? So Igor will come and show you how to configure the management pack, right? Then I'll come back and talk about JSON. Go ahead.
Thanks, Islam. No problem. So once you added your Azure subscription to the monitor, the relevant entities will be discovered, but not the monitored yet. So in order to specify what exactly you want to monitor for specific subscription, you go to the authoring, and you will find additional template available, Windows Azure Monitoring. First of all, you click Add Monitoring Wizard. On this step, as usual, you need to specify the name and the management pack for data storing. Let's type something. And to select existing management pack. And this is the point when we're going to pick up the Azure subscription. Islam mentioned that we have two subscriptions, and only one of them will be monitored, the one starting with 45. So now let's close the wizard, since we have already configured, and to take a look at this template. Actually, this is very straightforward and very plain. It's something like next, 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 act, okay, something like. Okay, well, let's switch to the cloud service tab. You can hear, and you can see two cloud services or hosted services added to the monitor. You click add, you just need to specify the deployment slot, production station. We use only production, to click search, to pick up some of them, to click add, and to click OK. The same is for the virtual machines and for storage accounts we have. Okay, assume we have the Azure-based application implementing web and worker role. In order to grab all the metrics which Azure Management Pack can provide you, you need to update your application a bit. Specifically, you need to do five things. Number one is to implement diagnostic metrics, performance counters, collections inside OnStart method of your web and worker roles. Thus, you'll be able to specify what exactly metrics you want to collect for each specific role. Number two, you need to enable the diagnostic metrics collection itself. This is just a checkbox. You go to the properties of web and worker role and to check specific checkbox. Number three, you need to... by this time, we will have configured and specify what exactly we want to grab. But we also need to store them anywhere, right? For these purposes, we go to the Azure subscription, we create additional storage account, we copy down the storage account name and access key. So this pair, the storage account name and access key, will be placed to the properties of web and worker role once again, and thus we will be able to have the storage for data being collected. Next come the distribute application. So once you import the Azure Management Pack, you will have additional distribute application template. Let's take a look. We'll type some name. And we will select Windows Azure Distribute Application. You may ask, why should I do this? There are two purposes. The first one. Some of the Azure Management Pack views will be populated only after you add your application, specifically the cloud servers, as a distributed application. Here you can specify the cloud servers itself. You can provide the information from different client-side perspective. This can be the different kinds of virtual nodes for web application availability for GSM, Islam will be talking about today. Also, we can put here the SQL database and some test dependencies. This part will form the distribute application, and it will form the aggregated health state view of all your deployments. It's a nice thing when you have, for example, the hybrid deployment, and some of the parts of your environments are in cloud, for example, the cloud servers, and some of them are on-prem, for example, SQL database. So you just need to do this. And also the final step we need to take is to enable several rules. We go to the rules and we have them listed here. All of them are from Windows Azure Service Management Pack, and specifically we need to enable all this set of rules. These are concerned to Windows Azure role instances. These rules will be used to collect diagnostic metrics you specify in source code of your web and worker roles. Okay, now let's go to monitoring pane and take a look at what exactly we have bringing with Azure Management Pack. First of all, this is active alerts. As you can see, we have some of them. Let's take a look at one of them. This is about the worker role instance is running out of memory. So we monitor the memory, the performance metrics, and the processor time for per role, for web and worker roles. And that's why you're warned about this. Another view is all alerts for last 24 hours. Currently it's blank because we have no recent alerts. But unlike the active alerts, it will list also closed alerts. Now we go to server state, and it provides the health state of the cloud servers. Let's take a look why it's in warning state. We go to Health Explorer. And we see, once again, we have the problem with memory. The health state of weapon and worker role instances will be rolled up to the weapon worker roles, and after that it will be bring to the deployment slot, and finally it will be influencing the entire health state of cloud service. Also, we have several dashboards here, available dashboard, capacity, resource utilization, and so on. This is just to drill down. Also, it brings you topology view. In our specific case, our environment is very simple. It contains only the application implementing one web role and one worker role. This is the application here. So currently we have only the entire health state. But if you specified, if you fulfilled the distribute application with more details, this view will be shown as a real webnet. Okay, Islam have covered the discovery entities. The same list of entities we have for the monitored ones, but specifically only for those which are monitored. We have here cloud, server state, storage accounts, virtual machines, deployment slots, role instances, and role states. Let's take a look at some evident thing. For example, let's take a look at discovered storage account. You see, we have three of them here in the list, but only two of them are monitored. Islam mentioned that we have two subscriptions, but only one is used for monitoring, this one, starting with 45. And that's why we have this one without this green check sign. And now we came to the performance counters metrics collection. Specifically for performance counters metrics, we need to know two things. First of all, you need to be sure that you have implemented the diagnostic metrics added to source code of your onStart method for weapon worker role. This is point number one. And point number two is to be sure that you have enabled the rules collecting those metrics. On our lab, we have implemented only processor time and memory metrics to be collected. That's why we get them populated here. Below, you can see the instances of weapon worker roles, which are instances for performance counters, for memory, and for processor time. I think this is all we would like to introduce the Azure Management Pack, and now Islam will go on with extended monitoring and global service monitoring. Islam, please.
Thank you. So I know that actually we have maybe you'll be running out of time. We only have 6 to 7 minutes. So I just want to show you the GSM, so be able to actually you guys take this with you and see how we're going to implement that to your production system, right? So as Ivo mentioned, actually GSM is actually global service monitoring rather than public cloud, right? It's actually giving you a 360 degree view from 16 different geo points, like India, the Bangalore, Japan, Moscow, and all so on. So you want to know how's my user experience from these 16 geo points, different points, doing, right? And from here, you can take this and say, actually, if this actually takes more than 8 milliseconds, right, now I'm having to do something for the actions. So let's see how we're going to do that.
All
right, sorry about that. So let me close this. So this will give you a summary of how is your application doing from the 16 different points. You can very much go and opt in on having all of them to monitor all your application, right? But actually can go and actually choose, as I did from my side here, I did actually choose Los Angeles and what are these actually? This is the Miami and so on. So for example, from Miami here, I know that actually my dev team provided me with a link to go that to through all the business layers in my application to make sure that actually I am up and running with the required time for the transaction that take maybe 1.13 second and so on. So pretty much, I think we have 4 minutes for Q&A, and okay, actually we can extend the Q&A also offline if you guys have any questions. Say it again.
Is there a mobile app for getting the notifications or watch the
broadly? Do you want to use the microphone maybe?
Yeah, can you use the microphone please?
Do we have a mobile app for watching?
Do you have a mobile app for this?
Yeah, getting the notifications also.
So you can actually receive notification on your mobile as well if you configure this actually to in the rules. On Ops Manager for sure, you can receive alerts for sure. Question?
How long do you collect data for the state of
the
database?
The data diagnostic database?
Yeah.
For the APM?
Yeah. Ops Manager database is used.
So Ops Manager itself, it actually, if you configure your Ops Manager database to configure actually by default, I think it will collect 7 days. Right, then for 7 days, actually the data go transferred to your data warehouse database.
So to be separate.
Separate thing.
Is that adjustable if you have a small web app, very little traffic, but you want to ensure?
Yes, it's adjustable through the specific rules. Using overrides, you can do that.
Right, sure. More questions? Did you have a question first? So hopefully you guys actually have seen, you have actually got the benefit of APM, of the Azure Management Pack, of the EC2. I believe actually here the message actually we're from one single point of view, we are actually able to monitor all your application, either actually are hosted on-prem, Azure, EC2, right? Right. I don't really know exactly. I don't know exactly what the number actually from this, but you can very much. I think go with the best practice that Ops Manager say for the Azure Management Pack itself, and tell you how many subscriptions. I'm not aware actually there's any cap on numbers. Do you know if there's any cap number for Azure? Yeah. So
I think that overall, from an architectural point of view, for SCUM, the consideration is the number of management packs imported. If you have a lot of management packs imported, that might impact your overall performance, but from a tenant point of view, SCUM has always been pretty strong in multi-tenant support. So.
And you can always add management servers on SCUM to handle the load.
Can you run an operation manager in Azure Cloud?
Yeah, you can.
To IIS?
Yeah, you can. You can actually shift all your infrastructure to Amazon and you do these things. I know a lot of hosters and companies do this now. Question. Still have 1 minute. You guys go ahead and ask questions. So guys, is the session was useful for you? Did you add any knowledge to it? Right? So if not actually was useful, can I just have applause for my co-presenter here?